But I thought it was really, it's been a really interesting study, studying maybe the only non-human hidden hero for the series. So, but I think there's some really cool things that we can look at from here. And really, I don't know if I had ever paid a whole lot of attention to this story other than, oh, there's a talking donkey, you know. So I'm going to get a drink of water, and then I'm going to just read through the story, which is in Numbers 22. So I'm going to read most of that chapter. You can go ahead and turn there if you want. All right, so 22 verses 1 through 35. I might stop a couple times along the way. So it says, then the sons of Israel journeyed and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan opposite Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw that all Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this horde will lick up all that is around us as the ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, son of Zippor, was king of Moab at the time. So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which this is one of those passages that nobody can ever read right, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me. Now, therefore, please come, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and to drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to him. He said to them, spend the night here, and I will bring a word back to you as the Lord may speak to me. And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? Which, pause there for a second. Interesting that God is, again, asking a question to men. Who are these people with you? As if he doesn't know. Another time he does that just for context a little bit. God also asks Adam and Eve where they are in the garden after they're tempted by the serpent. Another talking animal. So that's how that relates. Jeff, how am I doing with the typology stuff? This is how I do it. I'm like, this kind of reminds me of that. So Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Behold, there is a people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out. God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam arose in the morning and said to Balak's leaders, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. The leaders of Moab arose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. Then Balak sent leaders more numerous and more distinguished than the former. They came to him. They came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, hinder you from coming to me, for I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Please come then, curse this people for me. Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the command of the Lord my God. Now please, you also stay here tonight, and I will find out what else the Lord will speak to me. God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you shall you do. So Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. But God was angry because he was going. It's another interesting thing. Like, God says, okay, you can go, but he's not really happy about it. He says, only speak what I tell you to. So Balaam's prepared that God's going to tell him what to say, or at least give him a sign or some direction. So God was angry because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, The donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right hand or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Then Balaam said to the donkey, pause here again, really no surprise. Hey, that donkey talked to me. I guess I'll just talk right back. So then Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me, if there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary, because your way was contrary to me." But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would surely have killed you just now and let her live. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back." But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but you shall speak only the word which I tell you." So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak. So this is a really weird story, right? This is really strange. There's a talking donkey and an angel that Balaam, who's the prophet or diviner, can't see, but the donkey can see. So starting off pretty interesting. So I just want to get kind of your thoughts on this story before we kind of jump into some of what my thoughts were. Anything that stood out from that to you? Yeah, I think that's really weird. Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to Jeff earlier. We're both saying we'd probably be running away because the donkey was talking. Yeah. Did someone back there? Something? No? Okay. Yeah, definitely. It's kind of one of the ones I wanted to hit on. This one's super unique, I think. Yeah.
It's a little bit weird that a non-Israelite has this prophetic relationship with God.
Yeah, especially he uses the all caps Lord when he talks about God, which is God's name. So, yeah, that one's interesting too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like Balaam should have known better. Yeah, Shelley?
Kind of interesting
that
he was doing something that was against God. And then still, like with the donkey, three times
punished
the donkey. And the angel said
it
was wrong.
Yeah. And yet God still showed grace. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do that every time. Yeah. Yeah, he got kind of lucky there. Or not lucky, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Explain some of Sandy's random barking. What are you looking at? Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting. That's kind of one of the things, too, I think I want to hit on about why, like, the donkey could see the angel, but Balaam couldn't. It's interesting.
Disobeying God in that story as well.
to Malbman, and the story ends. It's a super weird story. But at the end of the story, the lion sits down and the donkey sits down. And the donkey doesn't run from the lion, and the lion doesn't try to eat the donkey. And it's as though God is using the animals to drive home a point. They only did exactly what I commanded them to. They respected my authority. And to some degree, there seems to be a similar correlation here that God is using the donkey. And that's why I think Shelley, or somebody said there's three times he was asked to go on this journey. And three times the donkey thing. It seems like there's some side correlation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three is an important number in the Bible. Someone else can teach on that. But yeah. One of the things, too, that I think is interesting, kind of related to that, is that that God kind of like, he kind of says, no, don't go. But then he's like, okay. But he's like, really, I don't want you to go, you know? And that kind of reminds me a little bit of what you're talking about, 1 Kings 13. But also, like, just one more thing I was thinking. It's really interesting. Not only does this donkey talk, but he provides, like, a pretty logical argument and excuse. It's like, have I ever done this to you before? So why would you think that this is just me misbehaving? I don't know. It's a really, like, a well thought out response from the donkey. But I think, yeah, we'll kind of get back to that later. Any other thoughts before we kind of jump into some of my ideas? Okay, we'll just go into these. So these are just, I really just kind of came up with a few thoughts that kind of revolve around questions. To me, this story has a few different things that it can teach me, not just about donkeys, and mostly not about donkeys. But so I'd just love to hear you guys' thoughts on some of these questions. So just to start off, have you ever been in a situation like this where God used someone someone or something to speak a word to you that you needed to hear in an unconventional way? Like, for example, a donkey speaking to you. I really hope somebody has been spoken to by a donkey. Any times that God has kind of gotten your attention in a strange way? Or just said something, like giving you a message. Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, it sounds silly, but it's ants, fire ants in Texas. They're everywhere. And I remember I was just sitting there looking at ants, and I was just having this really dark moment where I just said, man, their whole life is meaningless. All they do is go in these colonies and they move dirt from place to place. And I was like, man, it's us.
Yeah. 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 I mean, we're getting animals already, though. That's good. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and it occurred, you know, obviously there's some obvious lessons in my walk with God and how often I'm straightening the leash and how less often I just look to him.
Yeah.
And
for those of you who didn't know my dog growing up, she would sprint all the way to the end of the leash and like get flipped up in the air because she hit the end, you know? And like choke herself to death. So yeah.
I found often raising my kids, they would ask me these innocent, correct questions, where I'd realize, right, you were paying attention to all that. Okay. You know what I mean? It's just because they're innocent. You're mm-hmm. not anymore.
Hey. Well, you're right. Yeah, cool. I like that. But when I was with, when I was working in Lake Dallas, I was with a couple teens in downtown Dallas. We were passing out water bottles to some people. And one of those teens was really struggling with her image about herself, I guess, which is super common for teenagers, right? And I couldn't figure out what to say to her or how to help her to like cross this barrier. And this homeless guy who was beyond drunk came up and didn't say something derogatory or objectifying to her, but said, like, did you know that God created you unique and beautiful? And I was like, how does that happen? You know, that guy might as well have been a mule, you know, a donkey speaking God's truth. But that was like, and I was really frustrated by that because I'd been trying all summer to help her, and then it was like, God's like, nope, you can't. I will. Here you go. Yeah, any other stories like that? Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, check.
Don Francisco is a local Christian musician that wrote a song about Balaam. Mm. And the conclusion that he wrote of talked about was that he said that, you know, about the time that you start feeling big about God using you to accomplish things, don't let it get to your head, because God could have used the dog next door.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of segues into the kind of the next one I want to talk about. So Balaam was the prophet, but God spoke his words through the mouth of a donkey. I think it's really interesting, like what he's saying, a reminder to us that God's power is what's at work within us, not our own power. So in physiological terms, it's not possible for a donkey to speak. It's not possible. They can't make the same. Gorillas can't even speak. You can't teach a gorilla to speak words. There's two ways you can go with this. I Googled, do donkeys speak? And all of them, right? And they don't. Nobody even is researching it because they don't. All of the articles were people talking about how people are creating arguments against the Bible because there's a speaking donkey, which I think is really funny, because it starts off with God speaking the universe into existence. But, which, yeah.
I was just remembering when you said that, I just remember a verse. Remember when Aaron says, you know, when Moses says, no, I can't talk, you know, I can't.
Yeah.
I like what God says, who gave man his mouth that he can talk? So I was thinking that's kind of appropriate.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, so all these articles are about how donkeys, like, how people are coming up with reasons that the Bible's not real because this donkey speaks. But the point of the story is not, whoa, a donkey talked. The point of a story is God spoke his words to man through a donkey. He's willing to speak through a donkey. if you're not going to listen to him other ways. He didn't even start off with words. He started off with like, hey, maybe you should pay attention. Like, hey, we're going off the track. Something's going on. And then the donkey starts talking when he doesn't pay attention. So with that one, if Balaam's donkey spoke, it was clearly not by its own power. And it even says the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. So just kind of the point of that, Balaam's donkey, I think we can look at this as God could use a donkey, but I also think that we should maybe look at this as I am a donkey. Like, I might as well just be the donkey. I'm probably not Balaam because God doesn't speak to me in my dreams like he spoke to Balaam in his dreams. But sometimes God gives me the opportunity to be a part of his work. And it's all just if I let him use me, kind of like he used Balaam Balaam's donkey. Kind of just real quick, I want to jump over to 2 Peter, which is one of the other times we hear about Balaam's donkey. It's 2 Peter 2:15. I'll just read it real quick. It kind of applies here. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. So here he's kind of reinforcing, donkeys don't talk, you know. He's saying, in case you missed it, donkeys don't talk. And this one did, with a human voice to restrain this prophet, because God used what was there, you know. So kind of moving on from that, kind of the same thing. We'll kind of discuss this next one, but I didn't really have a question with the second point, just maybe we're the donkey, not the prophet, more often than, or maybe we're the donkey more often than we're the prophet. But so then the last thing I kind of wanted to hit on is that the donkey saw the angel, but the prophet did not. This guy who had already twice spoken to God in dreams, didn't see the angel. So that, I don't know, how does that relate to kind of our walk with God? Do you ever see God after everything else around you has? Like after the fact, you're like, oh, all of these things were getting my attention back on God, and I didn't see it until this big thing happened, like the donkey spoke to me. Does that question make sense? Maybe similar, but does it ever, like, is it ever the last thing that gets you? Yeah.
Yes, it kind of relates to it, but I definitely see myself and a lot of people trying to convince yourself of what God's will is, or trying to convince God about what his will is, trying to read signs and everything. God is calling me. I hear the language God is calling me out of my own mouth.
Oh, yeah.
When God didn't tell me to use those words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, so 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, what we just read there, the perspective that Peter's coming at here is that Balaam was traveling to this place because he was out of wicked desire. He wanted to get paid to do this thing. And that's actually a pretty common interpretation from a lot of commentaries on the Torah, as it turns out, which I don't ever understand how you come up with from Balaam, who had this relationship with God and wouldn't do anything until God told him he could, into he was a bad guy. But that's kind of their tradition, and we see it kind of coming out here in 2 Peter. But one of the things I think from that that I get is, so Balaam has this idea of what he wants to do. He wants to go do this thing, and he's going to do it in this specific way. And he's really stubborn about doing this. Like, he keeps hitting the donkey because the donkey's not going where he wants him to. Also interesting that, like, what's the most stubborn animal that, like, stereotypically speaking, that exists? Donkey, right? Or mules, right? Like, stubborn as a mule. Isn't that a thing people say? Yeah. He always checks the idioms for me. That's an idiom, right?
It's an idiom, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Christy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like they just don't move if they don't want to go somewhere. But we have the opposite thing happening, which we kind of also have the donkey being stubborn. And in hindsight, Balaam's like, oh, well, it makes sense. But Balaam's the one that's like really stubbornly trying to keep going his way. I'm not sure. I don't think it's a coincidence that God uses, you know, maybe, I don't know if in the ancient days donkeys were stubborn, but I would guess they were. So I think it's really cool that God uses a super stubborn animal who is willing to follow God's lead, willing to do his work to show this prophet that his stubbornness and his heart is wrong. You know, like, here's this stubborn animal who's following me. Why aren't you? So along those lines, can you relate to that? Does your stubbornness to do things your own way affect how long it takes you to see that God is calling your attention back to him or to a different way? Does your stubbornness to do things your own way affect your ability to see that God is calling you to do things his way? I write these questions so I don't have to answer them. I don't know. I don't have any stubborn kids. Or any kids. But yeah, I could see that. Also, better watch out. Steve's in the back. Yeah. Well, they learn from
you know,
me, yeah.
Just like God made a prophet, marry a prostitute.
Oh, yeah.
How he felt when they prostituted themselves against him.
To Hosea?
Hosea.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah. Jonah is close. I heard that over there.
But then he got swallowed by a fish. So,
yeah. Another animal.
It's not the same thing. Yeah, in a way it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
If someone who should know better is so stubborn that they're going to try to do things the wrong way, at least two instances, God had used an animal who can't even talk to show them their stubbornness.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
A lot of times in my own life, and I talk to others in my life, you know, we talk about how, you know, hard life is and pursuing a dream or whatever it is. In my case, trying to get Jason to marry me.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to talk to us, and I was talking to Cheryl, hopefully I say this, but thinking about Brittany and, again, my own life, and not that this is necessarily what happens, but sometimes he has to shut the door so hard and just crush you because we are so stubborn, like Jeff said, about, no, God, this is actually a better way. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Try to protect them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really like what you're saying about how, like, sometimes God does have to, like, slam the door on you, and it hurts, but there's that expression that's out there that when God closes a door, he opens a window. I really don't like that expression, because, like, you can go out a window too. Like, is it too hot in here? I think a better way to put it would be, when God closes a door, it's probably because there's a storm coming. You know, he needs you to be inside. He needs you to be in a place where you're trusting him and not trying to do things on your own outside, but you're kind of anchored in him for that. So, yeah, I like that. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Any other thoughts about that? Kind of like that. I think stubbornness is a theme in the Bible. Like Moses is told, hey, do this thing. And he does something else. And then everybody has to do a bad thing because of that. That was super vague because I can't remember the specifics of the story, but you guys all know it. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's how, it's one of the ways that God frequently, I think, uses my job to teach me. It's like, I'm always teaching things that are super convicting to me, and I always feel kind of guilty about it. I'm like, oh, I needed to hear this. And here I am, the teacher about it. But yeah, you see that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So his donkey saved him. He told his donkey, if I had a sword in my hand, I would kill him. And then the angel told Balaam the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that your donkey saved your life. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple chapters. Balaam writes a couple poems and says some kind of magical spell, I think. That was his job, I guess. He was a magician. Yeah.
I think that's the huge thing in this story is he's clearly on a mission to do something really wicked.
Yeah.
This isn't just a life decision. You're going to go curse Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just having the stubbornness, this is actually a story where it looks like the stubbornness of the donkey is the moral of the story, where it's sort of just digging your face and saying, I refuse. When you're on a path where you know in your gut, this is defying God. And just having that, no, I absolutely can't do that. It's mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Another kind of, another angle, I think, for this same question, kind of what you're saying, God said, only do what I tell you. And I was just talking about that stubbornness. So Balaam should have been waiting for a sign from God, expecting God to speak to him some way. But he keeps beating his mule when his mule is going off to the side. Like, so just kind of another angle, but I feel like this happens in my life a lot. Like I pray that God would show me his will and he almost never does. But occasionally, like I'll be getting hints of what God wants from me or where God's calling me to, either through other people talking to me or through scripture, not usually through a donkey. But Where was I going with that? So a lot of times, though, after I pray that God would show me kind of his will, I'm like, nope, I'm just going to pretend I didn't see that and keep doing what I want to do. Is that something that you guys can relate to? Or I think we've probably already kind of hit on that, right? But...
Mm-hmm. My will versus God's will.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time we elevate ourselves above God's will, we are practicing idolatry. We are lifting up something in heaven, and it's usually us. The idol we're worshiping is usually us, and what we want. And so we can have incredible powers of self-deception, which is kind of hard to read this, you know, for his eyes closed with the angel of the Lord, you know, outside his fault.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, my point about that is that, again, in essence, this is the human struggle with God is, will we, you know, yield to God's will even when it's not what we want? Or will we go, you know, just do a little curse against Israel for some
people? Yeah.
Only it's other forms of sin and poverty.
So right.
It's the same thing throughout the Bible. It's the same thing throughout all human history. It's
yeah, I think kind of the word that has been kind of coming up in my mind throughout the day as I've been preparing this and then tonight talking about it is faith or faithfulness. And I think sometimes we have really different definitions of those two. Like faith is my beliefs, kind of, right? But can I, Rich, get your input real quick? The Marine slogan thing, what is that? So, yeah, what does it mean? Okay, and I feel like you probably have a really solid handle on what that, like, always faithful really means. So what would you say always faithful means from your perspective as a Marine? Yeah, sorry. I didn't prepare him. I just thought of it when I saw him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but you probably have I think you probably have a better handle than I ever will on what faithfulness is because, you know, like you said, you fought for it and you bled for it because you know, like you had the slogan, faith, you know, always faithful, which I think, I don't know how I didn't make this connection until right now, and maybe I did and I just forgot, but faith, faithfulness, like Balaam was not being faithful, but Balaam's donkey was being faithful. So you have this like really intense, like, I will fight for this, I will bleed for this, I will die for this, following God's will. That idea of God's will over my will because I'm going to be faithful to him. And that's what faith is choosing God's will over my will. It's not just something like this system of thoughts that you have in your head that helps you explain how the world works. It does do that for us too, but it's understanding that God's will is better. I'm going to trust him and I'm going to be faithful to him even to the point of death. Which Balaam's donkey, if Balaam had had a sword, would have been faithful to the point of death. You know, that's kind of one of the undertones of this story as well. But I think Balaam's donkey shows this really cool thing. Like I think we are called to be Balaam's donkey more than we're called to be Balaam. I don't think most of us will probably hear direct messages from God multiple times in our lives and then write a bunch of poems about those messages. I don't know why I keep saying the poems, but that was just something that stuck out to me, that Balaam's prophecies were all written poetically. But yeah, John.
You know, and this may be basically the same thing everybody has said before, but what comes to me in this story is the idea of submission. You know, submitting to God's will is a matter. I mean, God told him from the beginning, you're not going to curse Israel.
Yeah.
Because they're a
Yeah.
That's not submission. Submission says, okay, God has told me this, I'm going to take him at his word, and this mm-hmm. is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's because of what we've seen from him, right? Balaam should have known, because Balaam had spoken with God. He should have known, when God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it, you know? But I think we often are more like Balaam than his donkey, in that we don't submit. We question everything. So kind of to close out, just another verse that this made me think about. Were you raising your hand? Okay. I'd hate to not call on you. So I don't live in your house anymore, though, so it's okay. Everything's fine between us. We just joke like that, just in case. So this is 1 Corinthians, and I think this kind of applies to what's going on with Balaam here, and with his donkey, the whole donkeys don't talk thing. So I'll just kind of read this, and then I'll close this out in prayer here in a second. It says, celebrate this. This is chapter 1, verses 27 through chapter 2, verse 5 in 1 Corinthians. But celebrate this. God selected the world's foolish to bring shame upon those who think they are wise. Likewise, he selected the world's weak to bring disgrace upon those who think they are strong. God selected the common and the cast off, whatever lacks status, so that he could invalidate the claims of those who think those things are significant. So it makes no sense for any person to boast in God's presence. Instead, credit God with your new situation. You are united with Jesus, the Christ. He is God's wisdom for us and more. He is our righteousness and holiness and redemption. As the scripture says, if someone wants to boast, he should boast in the Lord. My brothers and sisters, I did not pose as an expert with all the answers. I did not pretend to explain the mystery of God with eloquent speech and human wisdom. I claim to know nothing with certainty other than the reality that Jesus is the Christ, the liberating King who was crucified on our behalf. I was moved to utter despair during my time with you. I would find myself trembling in dread and fear. The sermons I preached were not delivered with the kind of persuasive elegance some have come to expect, but they were effective because I relied on God's Spirit to demonstrate God's power. If this were not so, your faith would be based on human wisdom and not the power of God. There's a whole bunch in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that talks about God's power, not our power. This is from God, not from us, kind of thing. But just this idea that God chose the foolish things to point out to us, like, this is me, it's not you. I think Balaam might have gone on his way and gotten, like Chuck was saying, a really big head because God had let him go. God had let him go do this thing. But he spoke through the donkey, because he chooses those things to remind us. This is not a story about the strong and the wise. This is a story about the weak and the foolish being used by my power. So any other thoughts before I close out? Yeah. Yeah.
Somehow of being patsy.
Mm-hmm.
That he could be bought.
Right.
So that may be another lesson for us to think about, that if somebody approaches you and asks you to do something and knows wrong, you've got to wonder, I think I would. Why would they think I would do that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the first time God says, nope, these people are blessed, you can't curse them. And then he's like, but God, can I please, you know? That's a good thing to take away from that as well. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
We don't know this because the end of this story, it doesn't relate directly to the donkey, but it's super weird what ends up happening. He can't curse Israel. He ends up calling a blessing on Israel. But then all of a sudden you find out, wow, Balaam is this horrible, wicked
Yeah.
And most commentators say it makes sense when you put the whole context together, and I think the Jew, a lot of Jewish history says, basically Balaam said, I have no power. I can't curse these people. They're protected by God.
Yeah.
They're protected by God because they're under covenant. So just get them to violate covenant with God and they're yours.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's what seems to happen in the story is he says, okay, now I can't curse you, but what I can do is lead the people into sin and then they're cursed.
Yeah. Mm. That's a whole maybe series. But yeah, that's good. Any other thoughts and we'll wrap up, keep it short. Okay, no thoughts. You can tell me personally. Let's just close with a prayer. Father, I'm just so thankful that you choose to use weak people like me, that you would let me speak your words occasionally. God, I pray that you would just continue to bless this church family here, that we would continue to grow closer to you and closer together in you. God, that we would speak words that honor you and that glorify you and that build each other up. God, I pray if there's any division, if there's any hurt between just members of this body, that you'd heal that. God, I also just pray that you would, God, help us to be less stubborn than Balaam. God, that we would answer when you start nudging us towards your way, that we would let you take over instead of pulling and hitting to try and get our own way. God, just I'm thankful for your grace and your mercy and your patience and letting us make the same mistakes over and over again, but still calling us back to your way. God, I pray that you'd help us to grow in that. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.